I've picked for our scripture from Romans 6, we have been brought from death to life. Jesus, I love you. I love your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you gather us now as the very body of Christ. We gather as his body to exalt him as head and Lord and King. I pray that you would speak clearly your word to us now. Reveal more deeply your love. Awaken our hearts now to Jesus, to behold him, to grow in our knowing him, to grow in his grace. We offer you ourselves. Bring us now into a deeper place of response of our lives. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would always be pleasing in your sight, O Lord God, my rock, my solid rock, and my redeemer. Amen. So I've been working. I'm excited to be here. I've been working. Oh, there's a clock. Oh, that's good. I've been working on Romans this past couple weeks. It's one letter. It was written without chapters. It was written by Paul to be read without stopping. Because we make a mistake often when we try to interpret the Bible by looking at it out of context. And that happens a lot, I believe, with especially Romans chapter 7. So, I'm going to challenge you this week. Take time. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Take time with that. God wants a daily communion with us. We're united in Christ by his death, the shedding of the blood. The resurrection signals to us the truth of our salvation. But that united life we have with him is to lead us into a daily communion with him. So you don't go to Bible study once a week. You can. I encourage it. But you go to study your Bible daily. It's daily bread. It says in John 3 that the words he speaks are the words of God. And so the Holy Spirit wants to bring us into direct contact with the living God through his word. We were created. Christ made it possible for that deep place of communion. My mother's favorite psalm was Psalm 27. You thought I was going to say Psalm 23. Psalm 27. And I think your favorite part was, one thing I ask of you, Lord, and that I will seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty, and to inquire in his temple. What David was going after was an earthly tabernacle. What God has made possible for us is a tabernacle. Our bodies become that tabernacle. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so we have that gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can enter into that great prayer. One thing I ask, just one thing, and I will seek it, to dwell in your presence all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and inquire of you in that place of presence. Where do we find that beauty? In the face of Jesus. In the person of Jesus. Who shows us that beauty? Holy Spirit does. Through his word. The most important time of my day is the time I'm alone, Holy Spirit, with my scriptures, seeking his face, desiring his presence, wanting to grow in the words that Peter said at the end of his epistle, I want you to grow in the knowledge and grace of Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be the glory. So when we get to Romans, often Romans chapter 7, when Paul begins to speak, and it sounds in the first person, he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. It is good. So now it's longer I who do, but sin that dwells within me. I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. I find it to be a law, when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That is not Paul struggling with sin. That's an example to us what it looks like when you are not in Christ. That's his previous life under the law. He tells us when you go through 5 and 6, how many times it says, you've been freed. You've been freed from sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Yes, wretched, he says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? But we are from wretchedness to restoration. We are from death to life now. We live a life in Christ, no longer in Adam. It's a new life Christ has provided through his dying and rising. The judgment of God, the wrath of God, the sin that separates us from God, alienates us, Jesus took it upon himself. It's the great trade. He took what was ours and he gave us what was his righteousness. We have a whole new identity. We're in Christ now, no longer in Adam. We've moved from wretched to restored. He died for our sins, not just so that we can enter heaven, yes, but that heaven could enter us. God's presence could come within us. To be absent from a body is present with the Lord, yes, but to be in Christ is to have the Lord within us. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we are going to show the world Christ, if we are going to be part of a reawakening that can not only encourage us, but bring this light out into our neighborhoods, workplaces, then we are going to need to set our minds on him. Let's look at that for a second. You realize, I don't know how clear this is, but Paul is not a Romans 7 Christian. He's a Romans 8 Christian. That's where he's living right now. He's trying to convince others that the other way is up and down. I've struggled and I can't do. I delight in it, but can't accomplish it. There's no place for communion there with God. When he gets to Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We walk now according to the Spirit. We set our minds on Christ. We don't set our minds on the flesh now. I like how Jesus says it in John 5. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you will become my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" He answered them, "Listen, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's Romans 8. We are no longer slaves to sin. Sin can no longer dominate our lives. We've moved into a new identity because of Christ crucified. He's brought us into the place of righteousness and the new life. No longer wretched, but restored. No longer death, but now we walk in the newness of life. I like how Paul says it in Colossians. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, from wretchedness to restoration, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have this new identity. How else will the world ever know Jesus if we are not being transformed day by day into his glory, becoming more and more like him? So what does it mean to set your mind on the Spirit? It means taking the time to offer your life to him each day. You don't worship one day a week. You don't read your Bible one day a week. Each day is necessary. So set a plan up for yourself. Begin tomorrow. Feed on his word. That's how we set our mind on him. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewal of your mind. That's not going to happen one day a week. It's going to happen as you immerse yourself in his word. It's kind of like this. When you first, we talk about falling in love, what happens? You rearrange your time. You rearrange your finances. You rearrange everything so you can spend time with this person you've met. Hours pass in your conversation, seems like a few minutes. That's what I'm talking about. I am praying that you would get such a revelation of his love for you that you will desire nothing else but him. You would get such awakening of your heart by his love for you that you will want nothing else, because nothing else will satisfy you. You will want to be in his presence, growing more in love with him. Taking time to open his word. If you don't know where to begin, begin in the Gospels. Take my challenge, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you want to be a spiritual giant, if you want to make an impact for the kingdom, if you want to manifest his image, which is love, if you want to grow more like Jesus, you got to spend more time in his word than looking at screens. You got to spend more time scrolling his word than scrolling the screens. He's waiting. He delights to meet with us. He wants us to grow in him. You're created for that. There's no other reason you're on planet Earth. Zero reason. But to grow in his image, made possible by the great trade he made, his life for our life, through the cross and resurrection, by the giving of Holy Spirit. He desires for you to know him in a deep, intimate, friendship kind of relationship. That's his desire. That's why he created. That's why he redeemed, sent his son to make that provision that we could have a relationship. Not just when we die and be with him, so that we can have a relationship that will reveal him now through us. That is how we begin to have a reawakening. It can't happen out there until it happens in here and within us. Stop wasting your time. Start hungering and thirsting for the only one that truly loves you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God makes his love known to us, right? While we were yet sinners, nothing to offer. That's why it's called grace. Thought about, we welcome our first grandchild into the world a little over a year ago, and We were married in 1978. Did I introduce my wife, Marilyn? My brother, Mark, from North Carolina, visiting.
Okay.
I remember our son growing up. I love to use this image because why does God love you? Have you ever thought about that? Why God loves you? When my son was born, I was in the room, the delivery room, and I immediately, almost unconsciously, loved that little child. Never met him, okay? My first meeting. Why him? Why not all the other kids on the block? Because he came forth from us. He's our offspring. You know what the Bible says? Paul says it. We are God's offspring. He loves you because you came forth from him. And he wants you to know it. He becomes incarnate through Mary. He comes incarnate to get as close as he can to us, to show us clearly his love for us. And then he takes upon himself what is rightfully ours, God's judgment, God's wrath. Our sins deserve that. And he makes it his. And we are buried with him. We are crucified with him. That old nature and those sins are taken up in Christ. We have been reconciled to the one who made that reconciliation possible. Does this do anything to your heart? Does that awaken anything in your life? Is there any desire now? Right? I want to know him. I like the psalmist, Psalm 63. Who have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth I desire besides you. You get to that place. You ask the Holy Spirit to get you to that place. And it won't be a chore getting to your prayer closet. It will be a joy. You will want to know more about the one who loves you. Without Jesus, we have no clue. Without Jesus, we have no clue the truth about who we are or about who God is. But with him, we know the truth, and that's the truth that sets us free. And we need each other, the body of Christ. The draw of the world, the voices from the world are strong. And the enemy comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We need each other to encourage one another. Set your mind on him. Set your mind on Christ. Live into that life. Open your heart up. This is essential. I'm telling you, you will not be able to grow in Christ without a continuing study of his word. It can't happen. What a gift he's given us. What a gift he's given us. We had communion. It shows us the covenant, the new covenant God makes, right? The new covenant in my blood, okay? What's necessary for a covenant? What's necessary? He already says on his part, all that I am and all that I have is yours. what's necessary? A response, a belief, acceptance to receive, where we can say, all that I am and all that I have is yours. There's no other. It's not so much religion, it's a romance. Your whole Bible is a romance. It all ends with a marriage in Revelation, right? The bridegroom welcomes the bride. If we could just taste and see the goodness of God, because the gospel begins with His goodness, His love. The gospel is made possible by the faithfulness of Christ to take up that cross. But the gospel is only realized when we respond in faith and make it ours. The Greek word pistos, faith, that Paul uses, it's not just believing in God. It's trusting your life to Him. It's a committed response of your loyalty and love and yourself to Him. The closest we see it is in a marriage. There's this great response of our life. Now I'm in Christ. Jesus said it's a new birth. It's from wretchedness to restoration. From a death, a certain death. We all are born into that death, to walking in new life. It's from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son through redemption. The forgiveness of sins. He's reconciled us to Himself. We didn't move one inch toward Him. But now we can. What we lost in the garden was the love for God we're supposed to have. Now it's restored. And that great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, now becomes realized. There's nothing else but the relationship Christ has made possible. I have no other desire except Him. Once you know the treasure, what the treasure is, His love and grace for you, how He sees you in His Son. Once you see that treasure, what do? You sell everything else and purchase the ground for the treasure, right? When you see that treasure, that pearl of great price, what do? Sell everything to gain that pearl. That's covenant. He says, all that I am is yours. And we look at the beauty and wonder of Jesus. And we say, all that I am is yours. That's covenant. That's the beauty of it. The more you grow in love with Christ, the more you behold Him, the more you become like Him. I do not get out of bed in the morning until I spend a good amount of time straightening out the perspective. My first words are, Father, I'm yours. Abba, Father, I belong to You. I desire You now. Holy Spirit, show me more of Christ today. Holy Spirit, bring the grace that I can respond and follow and obey and do his will. That's the purpose. Once you begin to enter into that, that love relationship, that romance, okay, all the other loves you've had fade in comparison. Everything you thought that enamored you, every attachment you thought could bring you life, fades away for that one thing. One thing I ask, and that I will seek. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for once again speaking your gospel to us in this setting. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to awaken our hearts again, a desire again to want to know you and to offer a place of our committed life to you. Father, we pray this